everyone. Welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, how you doing?
Doing great. Just living out the winter up here and hoping for spring soon, darn it.
Yes, of course. And we even got snow here in Columbus, which is, at least in my opinion, been a little unusual. And I'm looking forward to going down to Florida for PodFest next week. Matter of fact, I fly down Saturday to see my daughter for a few days. But anyway, we got a lot to talk about today. We got some news, as always, kind of best practice, some stuff going on here at Blueberry. We got an interview with Jim Millard from the Millard Report. And we got some stuff talking about some support topics. But first and foremost is this Edison Research launches their Podcast Quarterly Consumer Tracking Report. They're saying podcasting is on the grow.
Yeah, that's what they keep saying every year, and it's true every year. That's the thing. It's been a pretty steady growth.
I think that they had a takeaway there that said that podcast listeners, and I found this kind of funny, podcast listeners listen to radio more than non-podcast listeners, and I find that truly hard to believe because I most podcasters that I know have barely listened to any radio. So it was kind of almost like them running home to mama and saying, hey, by the way, radio's not dead. Podcasters still listen to radio.
Yeah. It's funny. I do listen to a little bit of radio here just because, I have friends in the business around here and they, want to see what they're up to. But as far as, what I would listen to, just completely recreationally, it's going to be podcasts.
Yeah, I can't even think about the last time I actually listened to an FM or AM station. But anyway, hey, so next up on the list here is something else, and Sony Music announced a new podcast venture. What's the story on that?
Well, something else is a British independent audio producer, and then they made a deal with Sony Entertainment, and they're going to do some of their own podcasts that are going to be kind of co-branded with Sony and something else.
That's interesting.
So they're doing a content play,
Yeah, we'll see if they have any music in there. I'd be curious to watch. But something's kind of funny here. I thought Oprah has had a podcast for a long time. We've worked with the Oprah team already. So this news about Oprah starting a podcast, it's got me scratching my head a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. It says, she's expanding her reach into podcasting. So maybe she's going to start another one. That's probably it. It kind of looks like she's going to use some of her old TV talk show content for this new podcast.
I think the Insider Radio folks need to realize she's been doing that. So I don't know if this is really anything about news, but I guess we'll see. But PRX had their privacy symposium, and Jeff Hines, one of our team members, was out there. And I asked him for a little bit of feedback on what they saw there and what they heard. And it was interesting. Some folks, actually, I got some feedback from some other folks. They said it was a great event, and they even talked about the new podcast RSS Coalition. They covered some privacy stuff, which was interesting, but not as much as they talked about publishers wanting to find a happy balance with advertisers' expectations for data targeting. And it goes all back to some of the stuff we've been talking about attribution. And maybe this is a good, a good point for podcasters that are listening to this episode is that, if you're using another measurement service outside of Blueberry, you need to be very careful. You need to ask hard questions. You may not know it, but your listeners may already be being spied upon. And because I think some companies are taking IP data that they're collecting and using that as attribution. So just ask whoever you're measuring with outside of Blueberry if they are doing anything with your data, of your listeners' data. We don't do anything here at Blueberry with listener data. That is all anonymized for GDPR, CCPA. We don't sell that data. We don't want anybody to touch it. None of that's going on here, but that is not the case outside of Blueberry in many instances. So just be careful out there. But anyway, this PRX conference, the symposium supposedly seems to have been well attended. And there's an agenda that they put online, but they want to talk about working around RSS instead of reinventing the wheel, which is working within RSS instead of working around it. So that's a good news.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't hear a whole lot out of that conference or that symposium, I guess they call it, and I haven't talked to Jeff yet about it, but yeah, sounds good that they're at least thinking about it.
Yeah, and this, you know what it is, advertisers want more, and when you open that Pandora's box of giving them a little, let's say you do advertiser listener attribution, the next thing you're going to say is, well, we want to sell this data to Facebook or Amazon. And the difference is really when we use Facebook and Amazon, we have opted in to allow Facebook and Amazon to do that as users. Our listeners don't have that ability to opt in and be tracked. And that has a significant. Now, if you as a podcaster say, I'm cool with letting my listeners be tracked, that's your choice. But as a company policy here, we don't think it's a good thing. And by default, we don't allow it. And if you say you do, and you make an agreement with a third party, that's your business. It's your show. But I just think this attribution thing is going to open a rabbit hole up that we don't necessarily want to go down.
Yeah, that's like I said, it's podcast listening is more or less a private activity in most cases. Now, if you're on Apple Podcasts, Apple knows some stuff about you.
Sure.
And whatever app may know something.
Yeah, Spotify knows about you. Certainly, probably the apps you use know something about you as well.
Right, but you opt into those. You opt in. There's a privacy policy on Overcast. There's a privacy policy at Apple. There's a privacy policy at Spotify. They have to do that, for GDPR and CCPA and all that stuff. So, mm-hmm. You could go to a website, in a incognito window, download an MP3 file and listen to it, and nobody would know you did it.
Well, that IP data still.
Stored. Maybe your ISP. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. You're never totally not tracked, obviously.
Yeah. Let's move into this story about teachers receiving Bell grants for podcasting.
Yeah, it's just a local thing over in Muncie, Indiana, but it's kind of cool. So if you're a teacher and you want to get a little money for podcasting, there are grants out there. 11 teachers got, grand total of, $3,200, but, why not for podcasts and other, creative type things, drumming and, just all kinds of weird little things. But hey, somebody got some money for podcasting, and that's another avenue if you're a teacher and you want to, teach podcasting or, get your students involved with it, look for grant opportunities.
In my understanding of those Bell grants aren't too hard to write either. They're not like a full-blown, multi-million dollar grant for those small ones. They're not that difficult, and usually that money is pretty easily allocated. So congratulations to those teachers that received the Bell grants. So let's talk a little bit today. Let's move into the next section here about best practices and what is the critical information you can gather from stats. What was some of the things you were thinking about, Mike?
Well, I was just thinking, what about the stats, and blueberry stats in particular that you want to pay attention to? So many people pay attention to things that may or may not be useful so if you're going for advertising, of course, the number one thing is how many downloads did you get per episode? And the reason for that is your advertisers are going to want to know how many times did somebody download the file that my ad was in. So that's really the important. And that's also a way to track growth over time. You look at, okay, I put out an episode and 30 days from now, I had 500 downloads. And, a year from now, you do the same thing. You pick a 30-day-old podcast and you get 800 downloads. So you've grown your audience by 300, essentially. And that's interesting. Another thing is interesting is the geography, I think. You can look and see what countries people are downloading in, and it depends on where you're at as to where your audience may be. Because, English language podcasts are, obviously popular in the US, Canada, Australia, UK, all that stuff. But you might be surprised where else people are listening to it. And
I was related to the audience that I was with last weekend about my sole listener down in Antarctica. And I saw that in the stats, and I was trying to figure out who the heck this could be. And I did a call out on my show. So, all right, who is listening to my show in Antarctica? And a few weeks later, I got an email back from a guy that's a researcher there. So he does winter overs on the ice, and he takes the show with him out on the Antarctic shelf, and not just my show, but many others. But I thought it was pretty cool that I had a listener down in Antarctica. And I think I like looking at the range view too. I look to look at the show over a period of time to see how it's done kind of from an average standpoint from episode to episode. And that range view is always pretty, it gives me an indication if I'm doing the right things to grow the show. And again, you look at, in my show, I go way back, but I can look at 3, 6, 9, 12, 2 years worth of range of, you know, what has happened with the show.
Yeah. Speaking of weird places, I wonder if the astronauts in the space station can get podcasts and how that would show up.
I would think so. And it's probably going to show up as a, you know, they're probably going through, obviously through a proxy server on the ground. So I would look for something, you know, who knows? Because you don't know where the government has their data centers at.
Yeah, Houston or California for JPL or whatever. But I'm just curious.
Weird. It's kind of interesting. You know, and do we know of any astronauts listening to podcasts? That would be really cool, wouldn't it, to have that claim to fame?
Yeah, we should we should call out on all the podcasts that we do. Hey, anybody in the space station? You never know.
Yeah, you never know. But I think then, we try to give you as much information as we can in stats, and we received some input recently on different ways to view that. So if you've got something, you know, this unique view that you want to look into, this window of time or something like that, let us know. We had one podcaster said he just needs a 1 week view. Give me a 1 week view of an episode. And I kind of thought that was a little odd because I tend to think of my shows more over publishing from now to infinium. And he needed 1 week views for a particular reason. So let us know if you need something specific, and that's something we can always add to the wish list.
Right. And that wish list, we get to it eventually.
So let's break into a little blueberry news. Podfest is next week. I'm hearing they're approaching 2,000 people. If he gets 2,000, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, well, it's growing every year that I've gone, and it's definitely an up and coming thing. And the change of venue, I think, is going to do it really well this year.
So looking forward to that. Myself, Mackenzie, and Angelo is going to be down in Orlando. We're taking Angelo because he hasn't been to a podcast conference in a long time, and we wanted him to get exposure to you. So if there's something about Blueberry Tech, Blueberry PowerPress, Blueberry Dashboard, any of that stuff, we want you to come up and talk to Angelo about it, or just talk to him about your challenges in podcasting. I think it's good for him to get some exposure of what's going on in the space, and not only that, to see the competitors and everything. So we'll be at PodFest next week. I'll be doing the new media show with Rob Greenlee on Saturday. But other than that, we're exhibiting or in booth. I think we're booth 100. As you come into the exhibit hall, we're right on the left. So make sure you stop by and see us if you're going to be at PodFest and pick up some swag.
So, I hear they got some good stuff there this year.
Yep, and they've got some new swag. So I think that's the cool part. But I was looking forward to PodFest, and I like it because I get to go down and see my granddaughter. So that's even better. So we've got this contest going on, and well, it's basically we're taking nominations at this point.
Right.
So ladies, listen. Nominate your favorite, and men too. So, but you know, fellas, if you listen to a podcast that features or has a woman doing it, nominate your favorite woman podcaster. You can nominate until midnight Saturday, March 7th. So get that in. You're going to win a year's worth of free hosting with us. I think there's some other stuff too that's in that package, but exciting stuff.
Yeah, and that's something we're going to be doing, you know, monthly, or not monthly, but periodically we're going to be doing some sort of contest like that amongst our listeners and users and whatnot at Blueberry. So watch for that in the newsletter in the future too.
Yeah, and there'll be a link in the show notes on that, on how you can, at podcastinsider.com, you'll be able to basically fill out the form. So that's the main thing. Now, one thing we do need is I think we got a 3 or 4 more interviews in the can. So we need more interviews. And I had an interview that I had to cancel. It was my fault because I ended up on an airplane earlier than I thought I would be. But I've got a couple that I'm going to be doing, but we still need more. Mackenzie needs more. We need some more ladies as well to do interviews with. So if you want to be featured here on Podcast Insider and get your Genesis story out about your show, you can send an email to Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. And we want to share your story. We want to share your inspiration and what you and what you did to start your show. So and why and what your audience gets out of it. So we look forward to interviewing some of you that listen to this podcast. So you can hear yourself. Mike, you still cringe when you hear yourself on the podcast?
No, you know, I used to, and now I'm used to it now. It took a while, though.
I still cringe. I'm not. I just don't want to hear myself. So I think it's, you would think after 15 years, I'd be able to get over that, but not to this point as well. So I was down in Houston last weekend. It was cold the first day, warm the second, but I was at the Spark Christian Podcast Conference. And what a great event. You never know how a first event's going to be put together, if they're going to be organized. And the team did a great job. And what was remarkable about this event was that it was about 85% women. And I was shocked at their, I was kind of astounded, and I was scratching my head a little bit. And I asked the organizer, I'm like, man, you're just real heavy on the women's side. Where's all the fellas? And she says, well, my network and Chrissy has a large ladies network that she works with. So she, you know, a lot of the attendees were friends or associates with her, people that she's worked with in the past. But what I found, Mike, was that, and what I found inspiring was the types of stories that these ladies want to do. And it's truly empowering. It allows them to get a message, get their voice out, let them do the type of work that they're doing, whether they're doing ministry or if they're doing stuff for missions. It just really, it ran the full gamut. And most of you may not know this, but the faith-based podcast category in podcasting is the largest category by far.
Yeah, by far.
Yeah.
You look up any local area, like, you know, I'm thinking Traverse City, a small city in Michigan. If I type Traverse City and podcast, I get 30 religious ones and then a couple of mine. Right. You know what I mean? So that's, you know, that's kind of the ratio it is across the board.
And the diversity was good too. And of course, I was really had some great discussions with the attendees. But I think what we're seeing now in the space, and this has been trending for a while, I truly think more ladies are joining the podcasting space right now than men. I think they're outpacing the guys in a big way. So
I can tell you from just anecdotal evidence from who I talk to all day on. You know, in support here, I would say it's probably 60-40 right now, at least.
60% women, 40% men.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, I think so too. But it was like 150 attendees, and I would say there was probably maybe 10 or 15 guys. And but really positive crowd. I was really, really impressed. But it was good. So it was a Spark Conference in Houston. If you are, they're going to do another one next year, and faith-based, or if that's something of your interest, definitely check them out. Next year is a dedicated conference for Christians. All right, let's go ahead and get into the interview. I talked with Jim Millard from the Millard Report, and this is a great interview with Jim. I think we'll just go ahead and cut to it, and we'll come back after the interview. Okay, Podcast Insiders, I've got Jim Millard on the phone. Actually, we're on Skype, but I guess it's about the same thing. And we're going to be talking about his podcast today. And you do an interesting show that I had no idea what really was within, because the title doesn't give it away. It's called The Millard Report. So, Jim, why don't you give a short 411 to the audience and tell us a little bit about what your show is actually about?
Well, we just kind of discussed this. It's kind of the old Art Bell, kind of the paranormal conspiracies, alternative stuff, shorter format, which is good for me. So, and basically, I like to do one-on-one interviews, but I do some other things once in a while. But it's, I like to just have that discussion back and forth without so much clutter in the way.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I've always thought about doing a paranormal show because I've always thought that I'm a geek, I'm a science fiction buff. I'm kind of into this kind of stuff, and I can even relate to some stories of my childhood where my mom and I were talking about pyramids and everything. And I think that it's an all interesting, all encompassing topic because it just runs the full gamut. But so, you know, when we first got on the call here, you told me you started your show in 2011. So that makes you've done a show for a while here. You've made it past all the major like road bumps where shows fail. But let's take you back to 2011. And what was the genesis moment for you to decide I'm going to do a podcast?
Oh, there was a couple. First, late 2010, I was a paranormal investigator and I wanted to grab some content from my team's website because, you know, this was the peak of paranormal TV and all this other stuff. And I'm like, guys, we've got to do something. So we started doing some little video clips and none of them were on board with it. So they eventually, within probably 6 weeks, told me to take a hike with it all. And I said, okay, well, I'm still doing it. Of course, you know, I realized what they were saying. None of them wanted to be on video. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, audio? Hello? So I started looking around and started listening to internet radio and started spinning around. And then I listened to a show one night and this guy, you know, went on and on. He's like, I'll take any questions from the listeners. And I typed up probably five or six and never, you know, I'm like, he's asking stupider questions than I'm typing him. I'm asking him good stuff here. He's just not, it's just not happening. Right. So I'm like, that was probably, if you had to define a moment that I wanted to do my own show, that would probably be it. But that was probably, goodness, 4 months before I decided to do my own show. And so I floated around, listened to other shows, and the next thing I know, I'm co-hosting a show, and I'm sure Todd will appreciate that. This is one of those bumps where you go through it for a while with somebody for about 6 to 8 weeks, I think it was. And it came to that moment where that wasn't working, and I had the moment of doubt. But thankfully, a mutual friend of ours, me and my co-host, said, you have some talent. If you take a day and think about this before you just walk away totally. And I said, okay, whatever. I was fuming. And so I took a weekend, actually, and I called him back on must have been Monday afternoon. And I said, if I'm going to do it, it's my way, you know, my guess, my music, my name, my, you know, whole thing.
Right.
Whatever you want to do.
Wow.
And I said, oh, okay. So, you know, I wasn't expecting that because this was a little internet network and they were kind of really sticky about things, most things. And I said, oh. He's like, let me know what time slot you're on. I'm like, oh. So I looked at the schedule and found my time slot that I'm still doing. I still do a live version of the show. And so I came back with the Mallard Report because I said to myself, if I'm going to do this, it's got to be my way. And the only way to make sure I maintain that fully is put my name on it. That's why, as you mentioned, the show doesn't necessarily lend the paranormal. Actually, there for a while, I was getting quite a bunch of inquiries from duck hunters and all kinds of things. Made me wonder what I was doing wrong, but yeah, that's kind of how it all started. And as they say, I guess the rest is history from there.
Well, you look at Art Bell called his show, you know, you're listening to Art Bell, you know, and so you're listening to the Mallard Report or you listen to George Norrie. People are using their real names all the time on their shows. I think it's kind of a thing in the paranormal genre, to be quite honest with you. But, you know, I've always thought, though, you know, the paranormal genre is huge. Well, I consider it huge. So do you go from ghost sightings to UFOs to, do you cover that whole spectrum or is it a little tighter than that?
It started as just like ghost hunters, like I said, and then I had a psychic on and that kind of wiggled the door open a little bit. And then I had a paranormal romance author on just because, you know, in the early days, you get a guest that says they want to come on your show. You say,
yeah.
Yes, let's take it. And then I was talking to her and I realized that, you know, this is, you know, the creek is starting to widen out a little bit. I could talk to authors about this. And then I got to Bigfoot and UFOs. And then somewhere along the line, I got twisted into conspiracies. And once you get into conspiracies, it seems like everything's downhill from there.
Yeah.
So
so just so you know, and it's, I'm putting a pitch in here, I've got two UFO stories and a story that I call the Blue Man story. So if you're ever interested, and the one UFO story happened in Afghanistan, so that might be even more of interest to you. But anyway, that...
I'm interested. I'm always, I take all comers, Todd. I love the firsthand stories because, well, talking to an author that's compiled a bunch of stories is great. Yeah. It's more, it's, I just prefer for, you know, yeah. I'm sure you'd prefer the same thing, yeah, firsthand knowledge.
I do too. So you're doing these great interviews with all these people that have, well, I'm sure sometimes does your eyeballs roll in the back of your head or are, you know, because the people are telling these stories, they are all in, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And then, man, these early days were painful because off and on, I've done video back and forth, you know, it was Ustream back in the day. And there was a guest that was just running and running and going and going. And I just, you know, wasn't going to interrupt the story, but I didn't really, you're just like you're talking about. And somebody sent me a screenshot of me doing the blah, blah, blah motion of my hand. And I went, well, that's the last time I do video for a while.
That's funny.
So yeah, it is hard, but.
But then again.
I don't know how you, that's my fellow, I filter it, right? Because right. It's very real to them.
Absolutely.
And it isn't to me. And if I tell them my story and they don't think it's real, I mean, it becomes a wash.
Yeah, that's true. But I think though, there's sometimes you get into some stuff that makes your hair stands up on the back of your neck. So that, I guess it kind of leads me so the next question then is, you know, your audience is tuning in. What kind of feedback? What are you? I'm sure you hear. What are you hearing your feedback from your audience? I'm kind of wondering the scope of it.
Well, some of the times there's some of that chirpy that guest wasn't great kind of thing, but overwhelmingly it's get that guest back on because you didn't get to. Because I kind of have ADHD where I kind of skip around a little bit and they want me to go a little bit deeper into something. So right. There's always a lot of that bring them, especially my show is only an hour.
Yeah.
So when you sit down and talk with somebody for an hour, there's the game, like, you know, you play back and forth a little bit to start feeling the person out and get them going a little bit. And then by the time you're actually connected and bonded and feel comfortable enough to, I don't want to say throw fastballs at the person just for fun, but you know, you can poke a little bit deeper and not feel as awkward as saying, so tell me about that time right out the chute. So it's kind of that evolving relationship you have to have. So in an hour, it really has to come together quickly.
Yeah.
So there's always a lot of get that person back or
do you,
you didn't ask them this.
Right.
People that know them.
Do you limit to an hour because that's your time slot on the network you're on?
Well, that was my time slot on the network I was on. I've been on a lot of them since. Now I just kind of do it on my own website, but it just kind of became the thing. Well, actually for 5 years, I branded the show as the fastest hour in paranormal talk radio. And I finally recently did away with that. As I kind of explored even further out into my current events and stuff. So I just kind of kept it there. Kind of keeps things consistent and contained because if I, you know, just let it go, I could see one show going 4 hours, and I don't know if that'd be good. I mean,
yeah,
as you know, the listenership goes down after the first, 20 minutes, and then it just keeps sliding.
Well, it depends on.
And then it levels off.
Yeah, I think it all depends on how engaging it is. You know, that's the thing is, you got to keep it, like, rocking for them. So do you find then that to find these engaging guests, are they beating your door down, or are you having to seek people out?
Currently, I still do both because the people that, well, this is going to sound bad, but it's not sure. Bad. Some of the people that are coming to me aren't necessarily the level of caliber of people I want to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go out and find some of these other people that I want who are more often than not. I even had one a few weeks ago say, I've been waiting for you to ask. And I went,
oh.
Well, why don't you ask? You know, it's like it's a two-way street. And they're like, well, I just don't do that. And I'm like, oh, okay. I understand because, you know, if they started asking people, then somebody would be hurt, big air quotes, right. But they didn't get asked. So I understand. But so, yeah, it's kind of a mix. And it's a good thing to have people coming in and noticing the show and wanting to be involved with it. But it's also good to go out and get somebody that you want to talk to. Like, for example, probably 5 weeks ago, I talked to Jesse Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
amazing, right? Like, had to hunt them down. Smoke signals, backwoods. I mean, I'm not quite that bad, but it seemed sure, like it at times. Sure. To get him, and then he shows up, and it's a great time, and it was over before I knew it.
Yeah, he brings a lot of energy to the air. It's almost like the show steps up five steps just because he showed up the way he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and then I'm like, I looked at the clock, and I'm like, oh, well, this was fun. We have to do it again. And I'm like, didn't realize it didn't take a breath. No, it's like.
I'm sure. So does the type, you know, and this is a topic we haven't got into in this show before, but because you're the first person I've talked to that does paranormal stuff. So the inquiries that you get from people that are wanting to be on the show, they're saying, hey, can you be on my show? Are you finding that, and I don't, because I don't want to undermine the content, because let's be frank, you know, I've had a couple experiences in my life that I'm just going to tell you right now, I believe full and true that what happened, you know, and
yeah.
One was a, you know, the Blue Man stories about a ghost and the two UFO stories. And I, you know, I had witnesses on UFO number two. Well, actually, I had witnesses on UFO number one and UFO number two. So for me, it's like no one's going to tell me any different, right, that this really happened. But some people are going to say, okay, they're going to look at you sideways, right? So do you get a level of guests that are trying to be on that make you look sideways a little bit? Do you get that? Do you get more of, I don't want to say kooks, but do you get a number of kooks that try to get on the show that are the ones that are reaching out independently?
Yeah, some of them are just like way out there. Like, I'm trying to remember how this one went, but he was pretty sure that he had Bigfoot living with him, I guess is the nice way of saying this.
Okay.
And I went, do you have any pictures? Because, you know,
sure,
this would be awesome if you had pictures of Bigfoot sleeping on his couch. Well, I can't share those with you. I'm like, well, I'm going to need a little bit more to go on. Then I seriously, the email was, I have Bigfoot living in my house. I want to be on your show.
And you just wonder if that person's just having fun and trying to.
Yeah, it's like, so, you know, you start digging for more information. And then after a while, you just kind of stop replying to them because you realize it's just, you know, but I've got to hunt it down, because if it does.
You're on an exclusive ever, right?
Yeah, that's like that'd be the biggest news of that field for right. Since the Patterson-Gimlin film in the 60s.
That's right.
I mean, that would be game changer information. So you kind of, it's never easy.
So some, you know, and I can understand too, because it's like, you know, my dad, when he was alive, he's walking down the street or something, and there would be a beggar that would be asking for money. He would always, if he had change or a few bucks, he'd always give money to a beggar on the street. And as a young kid, it kind of irritated me a little bit. And I asked him one day, I said, why do you do that? And he says, you never know when you're going to run into Jesus. And I'm just like, whoa, you know, but for him, you know, he was just like, you never know when you're going to run into Jesus. So it's kind of the same theme, right, with you having to find people for on your show. You got to kind of go the extra mile to make sure that, okay, is there a separation between this guy's total a whack job, or does he have something legitimate to say, you know?
Especially such as you pointed out, the paranormal is one of the, I don't know, you'd have to tell me, but it seems to me, because I'm in it, it seems like to me there's a lot of podcast concentrated on this. So if you see a name and a story that you haven't seen around, man, you got to try to go out and be the first to break that story or have that interview, because that kind of just sticks with that person forever.
Yeah, I think.
Because there's so many, like I said, there's so many repeat guests out there. Sure. But if you can go out and find that new one.
Yeah.
You got to at least try.
One of my friends that does a podcast, and I met him at Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference, he blew me away when I asked him, how much research do you do on a guest? He said, I do 8 hours, 8 hours research on a guest. And I sat back and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. He says, no. He says, because what I'm trying to do is, this person's on a lot of shows. A lot of, you know, he's being interviewed by, you know, let's is give it just a number, 20 podcasts. He says, and oftentimes he says, I'll listen to all 20 podcasts because I'm looking for the thing that was missed. And he actually digs in, and he'll find that there'll be a conversation going to get on the cusp of something, and he's thinking, I would ask this question now, and the guest doesn't do that, and he writes that down, does the reference, and then when he has that guest on, he comes back to him and says, by the way, I heard you on such and such show, and you were talking about this, and I wanted to ask you this additional question, and he says that is what makes his show different, where he can get down deep in the weeds. So how much research time are you doing for your guest?
I don't know if it's 8 hours, but I'm, well, there's probably the, when the initial, especially if it's somebody I'm out hunting, there's probably that initial hour trying to make sure that they would be willing and would be a good fit, because not everybody's a good fit. I mean, it sounds like I talk to a lot of people, and I do, but there's still some framework, you know, that kind of loosely guides the ship. And there's probably an hour into that, making sure, and, you know, because some people just don't do podcast interviews or, internet radio. Or they just don't do it. So I'm not going to, well, except William Shatner. I always like bothering him.
William Shatner blocked me on Twitter, by the way. So.
Yeah. So you've asked him, too. so you know why I asked. Just because, well, again, but if you were the first, for some reason, if he had a split second lapse and he said yes to you, you know, it'd be great.
Right.
So you have to ask. So there's that hour, and then there's probably two additional hours, like in the week leading up, and then there's the last hour that I put into cleaning up those notes, because I'll just start picking apart things on his, you know, things from the book and other show, like comments on YouTube that I've read about, you know, things they've from other interviews, and just so I'll start scribbling notes, and then right before, an hour before, I kind of come in studio here and just start kind of putting them in a logical order. Crossing out the things that don't make any sense anymore. And then since it's all still fresh, it makes it good to go. And there are nights where, yeah, I'll put that hour into it and we'll start talking about something and he'll mention something right out of the hello. And I might as well just throw that notebook out the window because we're talking about something different.
Right. You know, I think listening to Art Bell, and I told you before we started the show that I lost many a work hour because I was listening to Art Bell when I was living in Hawaii and working a night shift. And the thing I think that I admired Art Bell for was he had the ability to, even if he had a guest on there that in my right mind, his right mind, he knew that this guy was not on the up and up or gal. He made them feel like he was bought in 100%. And it to me, that was the beauty of how he did his show. You know, I don't ever remember him really kind of, he let the person have their say and just put it out there, you know, and there was never this, he never raised a doubt on a story. So how do you approach that piece?
I think you just keep asking questions. I know that sounds very, very general, but when you're trying to convince yourself, well, I hate to say this because this is going to sound egotistical, but sure. I do the show for me.
Yeah.
At the base premise, right? And if the listeners pick up something from it, that's a bonus. It's to answer the questions that I have first. And so if I'm still questioning why Todd started his podcast, well, I'm going to ask Todd again. And then maybe if I don't feel like Todd tells me this story about going out and going on the lunch and having this great, it'll come back. I'll reframe it as, so what got you interested in?
Sure.
And, you know, try to reposition it maybe just a little bit. And then if you come back again and don't answer my question, it's kind of like, I believe that I know the answer is not coming for one reason or the other. So I think the listeners have heard that too. So we all kind of as a community then move on.
Gotcha. So, you know, we've talked about what your audience feedback is everything from you should have dug in deeper or we want that person on longer or wasn't such a good guest. What has this done for you? I'm sure you have a day job that's not, or maybe, is your day job related to the paranormal?
It is not. So,
okay.
But what this has done for me is it's been, there's a lot of great opportunities meeting guests. Almost 2 years ago now, one of my former guests was out on the road with the opening act for Three Doors Down. And so he said, come down to Pittsburgh. I'll leave tickets at the window for you. Come down, get down here early, meet the band, hang out a little bit, stay for the show. Cool. Through another connection, got to meet one of my kids' favorite YouTubers. Cool. So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily add a lot of value to the net worth, so to speak, at the bottom, at the end of the day. But the little fun things that presented itself, especially in the last few years, make all the hours kind of worth it when you get to do something that otherwise you wouldn't have got to do.
Sure. So do you go to, I don't even know, is there paranormal events, or are they more surrounded like Comic Cons or something like that?
There's a ton of events, but I've been to probably five in the last 8 years.
So is there a reason why you don't go to those? Do you I always see those types of events, a place to go, like it's a gold mine of finding potential new guests and stuff. Is there a reason?
Yeah, it's just monetary. It's just the time and the money, and it's just...
Yeah, and the PTO and everything else that goes around that.
Yeah, I mean, when you have two young kids, there's always something else that either eats the time or the money. It's just kind of... So it's just that hasn't been a priority, and I'm okay with that. If that means a little bit slower growth for the show, that's fine.
Yeah,
I'd rather be happy at home.
Of course. So. Yeah, I understand completely. So let's talk a little bit about it. Have you tried to monetize, or how's that worked out?
Well... I've had a number of sponsors through the years that have helped just keep it floating, keep the cost off the bottom line. So that's good. I haven't really thought about selling memberships. I like the content being out there. And if somebody says, hey, I listened to the Jesse Ventura interview, they go over to my site, click it and share it, and they can get it and not have to worry about somebody not be able to listen because they're behind a paywall for it.
Right. Have you done anything with Patreon as a supporter type page, or put a PayPal link or anything like that?
No, like I said, the sponsors have been good enough to take care of what I need taken care of, which isn't much, as you know. Yeah. But it's not that much in the big grand scheme of life, but it adds up after a while. So I've been blessed that way, it probably made, what was it, $23 last year? Well, it made $23 last year.
Okay.
You know? Like,
yeah, after expenses, right?
I mean, that's before I draw a salary, so I mean,
understand completely.
Which is fine, because like I said, it's just, I don't want to say it's still a hobby.
Sure.
Because it kind of has taken on its own life, and then, you know, I definitely am deeply passionate about it, but it's not I don't feel the stress of saying, well, if I lose another 10 memberships, I'm going to have to start looking for a job.
I think a lot of people, I always tell people even without a sponsor, I'd continue to do the show because the show's more for me than it is for the audience. Do you kind of feel the same way?
Yeah, at this point, it's kind of like my addiction. Like, I don't know what I would do. And my wife always jokes, you're going to have to find something else to talk about, because there's no way. Because it does. It's a good distraction. It gets me a little time to talk about something else that she doesn't have to talk about ghosts all the time or conspiracies.
And it's a wide enough topic range that you keep the variety up and keep it interesting. I think that's the key too.
Yeah, I probably 3 or 4 years ago, I first heard the term pod fade. And I went, what is that? And then I clicked the story and I read and I went, oh, that's kind of interesting, because I was kind of feeling, I don't want to say stale with my show, but it was kind of the aliens, Bigfoot, ghosts, maybe a slight conspiracy here, but it was kind of in that really tight thing, and I went, huh. So it stuck with me. And then one day I finally said, you know what? I know I'm going to lose some listeners. I'm going to gain some listeners, so it's probably going to be a wash. Why not go out? Actually, I'll tell you who did it. I was sitting up watching Get Me Roger Stone on Netflix way late one night, like 3 a.m., like way late. Could have been sleeping. And it hit me. Why don't I go get me Roger Stone? I mean, he's out there.
Right.
So I grabbed my phone, my trusty phone, launched Twitter, follow Roger Stone. Hey, I'd like to do an interview with you sometime. Send. You know, and then I think nothing of it for a couple of days. And then 2 or 3 days later, I noticed Roger Stone follows you.
Oh.
And there's a like on the tweet. I'm like, oh, this might actually, I'm like, I had forgot, but I'm like, oh, this might actually be happening.
Yeah, he's checking you out to figure out if you're the real
deal. I'm like, so I said, hey, I'd still like to do that interview sometime direct message. And he says, yeah, I'll email these, my assistant or my publicist, whoever. And I said, okay. Sent the email. 3 weeks went by. Nothing. I find, I see, actually, I was at the doctor's office with one of my kids, and I seen that he liked another one of my tweets. I tweeted some music or something. He liked it. And I saw instantly, I said, "Hey, I haven't heard back from your publicist." He's like, "Oh, email this person. We'll get this done." And I'm like, so he's genuinely interested in coming on my show. So sure. At that moment, I'm like, well, why can't I talk? I mean, he's got the JFK book, which is loosely a conspiracy book. And I'm like, so this is kind of that bridge into current events, kind of with conspiracies and all of this. I mean, there's nothing normal about any of this stuff, right?
Yep.
So it's all paranormal. So what was that? That was 2 years ago on Halloween. I ran out the prime time, right? You're expecting ghost stories. You're expecting, right, you know, Halloween night, man. Everybody's expecting ghost stories.
And you got Roger Stone.
I roll out a half an hour pre-recorded interview of Roger Stone. I said, I introduced it. I'm like, I've got the ultimate trick or treat. And then I just hit play.
Oh, that's and, funny.
There was some reaction to that. But, I mean, from political views to how could you not be the paranormal show you're supposed to be on Halloween to, that was great. I liked that. Do more of that. So it was kind of, but I knew in my heart that kind of opened the door for me that, yeah, now kind of I can get people that are a level above, maybe not, you know, George Clooney,
right?
But that kind of next level, and opens the doors to a lot of things. So I kind of like that.
You know, you think about that, and you think about Roger Stone, and wow, this guy, he's got some serious political stuff that goes back a long ways, all the way up into current day. And while we won't go into it, it's just like this dude has had his foot and nose into a lot of stuff, you know. It just
that's what I told my listeners after the interview. I said, love him or hate him, his name, he told me 12, was it 8 or 12 U.S. presidents that he's had some hand somewhere in,
right?
Or candidates. And you go, for a guy who just, you know, wanted to start talking to ghost hunters to be within the 6 degrees of separation of history,
yeah,
I had to do it.
Yeah, that's you know, you could probably do 50 30-minute interviews with that dude and not even scratch the surface. So
I've done four now, and let me tell you, every time, he's another one of those guys that naturally has that. People are always asking for, what do you look for in a guest? There's that energy. We were talking about Jesse a few minutes ago. They have this energy and this knowledge, and they don't really care what you ask them. They've got an answer.
Right.
And it makes it great.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I tell you, it sounds to me like you've built a great following. It looks like you've got a diverse show that keeps you interested and also your audience. You're getting good feedback. And I like the story. I really, really do. And I think that it's not a lot different than a lot of the shows that are out there from, you know, we do this. I think a lot of us do this for ourselves. And the audience is the bonus factor. And I think that's what keeps podcasting alive for many of us. So how can the audience find you? What's a good contact? All that info.
The best way to find me is mallard.com, M-A-L-L-I-A-R-D. Contact information, social media information's there. All the old shows are there. Just a great place to go and find me.
And if you have a paranormal story for Jim, make sure you let him know, because he's always looking for that exclusive first story of getting it out there.
Yeah, it's important to, I mean, because a lot of people, I'll just go listen to the show and see how the conversation flows. And if that's something you want to do, we can have, I mean, you we can have a conversation, or whoever, we can have a conversation. It's more of the conversation. I don't want to sit here and say, why didn't you take pictures of that?
Right.
That's not my cup of tea. It's more of how did you feel? How did that first time go? You told somebody, that kind of back and forth, because as you know, the first time you tell somebody is a little difficult.
Yeah. And they look at you sideways, you know.
Oh, yeah. And just imagine telling somebody you talk about that on the internet, and that's forever.
Right. That's a fact. And I've shared that story on, you know, the story I'm referring to, I've shared on my own podcast three times. And what's really interesting is my audience, every once in a while, someone will be in the audience and say, can you retell that again on your show? So I've probably told that story 4 or 5 times, but the audience wants to hear it again. You know, it's kind of weird how that works. But anyway, it is what it is. Jim, thanks for being on with me today on Podcast Insider, and good luck with your show and much success to you in the future.
Thanks, Todd. And thanks for everything you do, what you've done for my show, even with Blueberry and all that stuff.
Well, appreciate it. Again, and thank you for being a customer as well. That was Jim Millard, of course, of Millard Report. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I know I did. Mike, lots going on in support.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got a couple of things going on. And one of the things that confuses a lot of people and is custom post types in WordPress. And what that means, and it's kind of an unfortunate name, to be honest with you, because a post type is, you know, it's just another post. It's just named something different. So in the sidebar of WordPress, you'll see posts and pages. Pages are a post type, and so are posts. Traditionally, or you know, the way PowerPress works without doing any modifying to it, is that you use posts to do your podcast posts. But some themes and some other podcast plugins and, you know, just some people just want to do a custom post type, which means you'd have a second blog on your site, more or less. And a lot of times they call it podcasts or episodes or something like that. But if you click something other than posts to publish your podcast, you know, your podcast posts, I know it gets confusing. But anyway, there's more than one way to do that in PowerPress. The easier way than doing post type podcasting, which is an option, the easier way is to enable podcast channels, and then you can assign the post type to the stock channel, to the default podcast feed, which is really handy. That way all the settings are in just one place. You don't have to go to a different place, and it's all really standard, other than when you make your post, instead of making a new post, you make a new episode, or you make a new
Mike,
whatever.
Yep. I got deer in the headlights, dude.
Sorry. I get too geeky.
Yeah. Yeah. What is your recommendation?
The recommendation is that if you are going to use a post type, please get a hold of us, and I can try not to bore you with the details of how to set that up. How about that?
Yeah. So I think the key here is, again, if you're going to do post types, talk to Mike, please. And that way maybe he can steer you in the right direction. Yeah. So WordPress.com versus WordPress.org.
Okay, well, we'll not get geeky on this one. WordPress.com is a service of a particular company, Automattic Incorporated, and their installation of WordPress is highly managed. So, you know, if you just get the free WordPress.com blog site, or you get the, you know, one of the smaller levels than the business level, you're not allowed to put plugins on it. So you can't use PowerPress. You can podcast with it. It's a different procedure, and it doesn't work quite as well, I don't think, as PowerPress, but you can do that. But when we talk about WordPress and PowerPress, we talk, you know, we're mainly talking about WordPress.org sites, which are basically self-hosted sites. And of course, Blueberry does PowerPress sites, which is a WordPress.org version, highly managed. But anyway, just know the difference that WordPress, when we say, do you have a WordPress site, you know, WordPress.com is a different thing than any other WordPress site.
Yeah, if you're self-hosted, you're going to be on GoDaddy, DreamHost, Bluehost, all, you know, one of 100 different hosting providers out there. Or you could be on PowerPress sites, which is, comes free with every Blueberry account. Sean has a post called Know Your Dashboard. And what's the story on that?
Yeah, he's doing a series on the blog over at podcastinsider.com where he's going through different sections of the dashboard at Blueberry, the podcaster dashboard, and what they're used for, what they're not used for, and all that stuff. And this is one of the first one in that series. And that was posted and edited by Mackenzie, but written by Sean. And
we're going to have a major update to that dashboard. So he's going to be doing that series twice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, what's there now is what he's talking about currently. And so go check that out.
And also, you're saying, did you know you can record on a Chromebook? I think I knew that.
Yeah. Well, I found an article, and I don't know if it really belongs in tech support. It could have been in the news, I guess. But there's an article that we'll have a link to. Called, you know, it's on a site called Shake Up Learning, and it lists out 13 sites and tools you can use to record on your Chromebook. And I guess it would work on any computer through a Chrome browser too.
No, nice.
So, you know, there's lots of ways you can record. One of them they had in here I saw was SpeakPipe, which is that voicemail thing. So you're kind of limited to 3 minutes on that. But hey, that would work if you're doing a short show.
Yeah, very, very short show. Also, you've got a reminder here to log into your Blueberry account when you submit a support ticket. It basically makes it much easier for us to get to your issue quickly. In other words, we can look you up. We can find your show much quicker, especially since you have logged in with the email that's associated with your Blueberry account. Often that's what we go to first, to find your listing on Blueberry and be able to assist you. So log in before you submit that ticket there, customers. We definitely appreciate it.
And if you're not a customer yet and you want to ask a question, that's available there as well. Or you could just shoot an email to support@blueberry.com. It ends up in the same place. And we'll help you as quickly as we can.
And Sean has a tip of the week. Is that being submitted, or how does that work?
Yeah, he's got a recording that we're going to drop in right here.
Uh-huh.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry Support Team with this week's PowerPress tip. Inside the PowerPress Services and Stats tab, you'll find the Integrate Blueberry Services section. Here, you can connect your WordPress installation to your Blueberry account and integrate your WordPress site with different Blueberry services. But first, you should determine if you even need to do this. PowerPress is a free plugin and does not require you to be a customer of any Blueberry paid or free services. If you have no interest in using Blueberry Stats or media hosting, you can completely ignore this integration and still use all of the features PowerPress has to offer. In order to integrate your site with Blueberry, you'll first need to sign up for a free account at blueberry.com, create a listing for your show, and sign up for at least one service, such as Blueberry Free Stats, Blueberry Pro Stats, or Blueberry Media Hosting. Once that's done, use the Click Here to Configure Blueberry Statistics and Hosting Services button inside the PowerPress Services and Stats tab. Enter the same username and password you use for blueberry.com into the corresponding fields and click the Save button. In the Select Default Program drop-down menu, choose the show that will be used with your WordPress site. If this is a network site, check the box next to Network Mode. Otherwise, leave that box unchecked and click the Save button. You'll see a Settings Saved Successfully message. You can now click the Close link to dismiss the integration window. Your WordPress site is now linked to your Blueberry account. We'll get into more details on what that connection can do for you in next week's PowerPress Tips segment. Until then, if you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email support@blueberry.com.
All right, everyone. We want to thank you for listening to Podcast Insider. And Mike, you got somebody else on tap next week, because I'm going to be down in Florida. Who's on tap next week?
Now we're going to have Barry Kantz, our corporate counsel and financial guy, and he's going to co-host with me. And I'm sure we'll get into some legal stuff as well as a topic.
Hey, by the way, that episode you had last week with Kate, my goodness, you guys had fun.
Oh, yeah, that was a ball. I definitely enjoyed Kate and bouncing stuff off of her, because she doesn't always agree exactly with what I say, and that's always fun. I love it.
You know, and I think, too, is what we show here is the diversity in the team, and that there's more than one way to skin a cat, and maybe that's not the right analogy to use, but there's more than one way to do a podcast, and I think that's what makes podcasting special. There's no rules. But everyone, thanks for listening here at Podcast Insider. We definitely want to thank you. And of course, check Kate and the team out at blueberrypro.com. Let them take over some of this work. Don't have to spend those hours doing your own editing when you can just focus on doing the content at blueberrypro.com.
They can do everything over there. It's awesome.
Yeah, I know. So, Mike, thanks for getting the agenda together today. And if everyone, you want to reach either of us or Mackenzie, it's todd@blueberry.com, mike@blueberry.com, or mackenzie@blueberry.com. Mike?
Yep, everybody have a great week. Catch you next week with Barry as the co-host.
I'll see everybody next time. Bye-bye.